When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, how you feeling today, Atlanta? How are you feeling after everybody and their mama has talked about the Atlanta Falcons and this move to Michael Penix? Now, we've not seen any results from it yet, but everybody's excited. I know Mike and I are excited. A lot of listeners we spoke to yesterday were excited. We keep running into people, Mike,
right,
who are excited about what this potentially could look like. And if it looks like anything close to what we can potentially be, meaning just productive, not turning the ball over. Mike, you said it, rely on the run game on Sunday. Mm. And I'm talking about the Giants game, guys. I'm not going to jump the gun and tell you what's going to happen with the Commanders or, for that matter, Carolina. But if those things happen, we'll be in good shape, because what has hurt us, what has killed us, what has put us in this place is turnovers.
Right, and the lack of, let's be honest, the vertical threat, not using our playmakers. Now, it's one thing for Jalen Hurts, who's been a starter for years in Philadelphia, to get called out by a wide receiver, and then everybody plays kiss and make up, and next thing you know, wow, look at this, vertical passing game is here. We need that from Penix, but that's a lot to ask of a guy making his first NFL. Oh, by the way, can you stretch the field, you know, like Roman Gabriel?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure about that.
I don't either. I think he is anxious and nervous like anybody would be. But if you talk to people who've been around him, and I'm not just talking about people on our staff and people in college that have been around him, he's right here. He's never too high, never too low. So that's the good news, Mike. I think he'll take this potential opportunity on with the right attitude. We're going to hear from Michael Penix coming up. We're also going to talk to Coach Raheem, guys. As we said, weird week because of the Monday night game. We usually are up there on Wednesday. That got pushed to today. And then obviously with the change and all the stuff that's been going on. But Coach Rod's going to stop by in the 3 o'clock hour. And then Caden Ellis. That's a guy you've been talking a lot about lately, Mike. Caden Ellis.
Yeah, I mean, we had him on the show when he first signed here as a free agent. And he had come from New Orleans. His last year with the Saints, he had 7 sacks. And last year, I think it was 5. The number was down a little bit, but I just thought he would be the perfect weapon, kind of like the way they're using him now, because Troy Anderson hasn't been on the field. So using him as like the true outside linebacker, blitzing guy who can do all the things. And again, physically, he can play sideline to sideline too. I love his athleticism, so it's a good fit.
I agree. And the Hammer has also been playing well. You know, listen, Troy Anderson right now, you've been saying it. I mean, I just want to kind of get through the season, get to the playoffs, and then reevaluate. But I just don't trust that he's going to be on the field when we need him. And that's become the issue for him,
right,
when you talk about this group of linebackers. Caden Ellis, to me, head and shoulders above everybody else. And then, you know, it kind of falls into the pecking order. But everybody for the last few years kept talking about Troy Anderson. He had one good game this year, Mike.
Yeah,
one good game.
The pick six. And, you know, this is the argument. This is, and for guys of a certain age, the name Mike Mamula comes up. And that is basically when you fall in love with the combine darling. Now, look, first off, he's a wonderful young guy. We always have a great time,
sure,
talking to Troy Anderson. You know his backstory, playing in a small school, playing every position, being a rock star. But, you know, Nick Benotto is the dude that went over to the Denver Broncos, who was known, was well known with Oklahoma. I think the argument on him was always a little light in the dumper. Well, this guy's got like 20-some-odd sacks since he's become a starter in a year and a half. He's killing it.
He is.
So, again, it's sometimes not that complicated, but sometimes, you know, scouting staffs fall in love. We fell in love with Rashid Hageman because they got extra work with him in the Senior Bowl one year, right? So it's sometimes you just get tunnel vision on some of these dudes.
Yeah, and every team does it, by the way. It's not just our team.
No.
Every team does it, and then they go, what the hell do we draft this guy for? But that's a whole nother conversation.
Right.
I think where we're at right now, guys, is what this game plan is going to be for Michael Penix and what they're going to do to try to utilize his skill set. He is not Kirk Cousins. He's different. He is a pocket passer, but he's not Kirk Cousins. And so, Mike, you talk about the left-handed thing. Everybody's been talking about switching tackles. They're not doing that, okay? That's just – we got three games left. Mm. How good can we play in these last three games, which we have to win out, and put some pressure on the Bucks to hopefully fall, and you know, then we win this tiebreaker thing? You can't be doing that at this point in the season. So they're not switching left tackles and right tackles. But what are they going to do to maximize his skills? And that, to me, is the real question. Like, how do you do that at this point in the season when this guy hasn't really taken any meaningful snaps?
No, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, you have all preseason because Kirk Cousins, you know, we talked about it, you know, the injuries and the inability to get him out. That's why we thought we'd see Penix at least. Now, again, it would have been months ago, but we thought that Penix would have had a ton of reps in those three preseason games. I know nobody likes preseason. Everyone's got their own approach to it. But, yeah, and then once the season starts, he doesn't get to have those reps. So, you know, yesterday they threw it 70 times. I hope his arm's okay.
I do, too.
70 freaking times yesterday in practice, apparently.
Which is great. I mean, obviously what they're trying to do is get the repetition, the reps, but let him throw it around to these different guys. Guys, I don't think he has a whole lot of chemistry, and how could he with any of these guys?
No.
Right? So, right. You know, throw it around. Let's try to start building that. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I do want you to hear a couple of things from Raheem Morris and then Michael Penix. Also, Zach Robinson spoke. We'll play some of that for you along the way last night, and Coach Raw will join us a little bit later on here on the show. As far as Raheem, when did he make this decision? And everybody's kind of caught up on this, Mike, because we said, did he make this decision like in Vegas? Did he make it on the plane? Because when they got back, remember they had that press conference, and we were on Monday, Tuesday,
right?
And it was like, yeah, we're not sure. We're still looking at everything. Was the decision already made? Nobody's saying when this decision was made, but Ra was asked about it.
The same way we do with all our decisions. You know, obviously you go in, you evaluate, you talk, you look at the tape, you go through all the process. You go through your next preparation and your daily things that you got to do. Obviously, you know, we got to play better at the position. We want to play better position, and that's what we made the decision to do that last night.
Okay. Now, again, the timing on this, and everybody wanted, why wasn't this decision made sooner? Again, they literally went around the room, apparently. We'll talk to Coach Rob about more on the process and the nuts and bolts of it. But I think, as we said, you know, from national TV announcers to the fan watching on his couch, you know, Cousins just hasn't passed the eye test. And then when we heard Kirk speak yesterday, Carl, he said, I didn't forget how to play football. Then what is it? If it's not an injury, how are you not able to process? Why does the ball come out so feebly at times, for lack of a better word? How do you go from being a, you know, looking like the man, 500 freaking, you set the team passing record, to looking like a guy that looks lost in the sideline, right? I don't get it. This is one that there's got to be something behind the scenes at some point. It's going to come out.
Yeah, it is. It's a mystery. And I know some of you are like, well, what does it matter now? It matters simply because we are all curious to how we got here. That's why. There's always a reason why. When things happen in your life, you're like, why'd that happen? You just don't let things go. So for fans like who are supporting this team and are invested, you're like, what the hey happened? And I think, Mike, you're right. At some point, it will come out. What message does this send to the team? And before I let you hear Raheem Morris, what do you think? What message does this send?
I think, and I don't think I was seeing things. I don't know how you guys feel around the room here, but I thought you saw some body language. It was kind of a tell with the Vegas game. Guys on the sideline, some eye rolling, some hands on hips, some guys away from the ball that were open. You know, and again, we've got a pretty good team where we don't really have that diva thing. You know, I mean, we've never really had that here, you know, as a franchise when it came to the wide receiver. But this was, I think you had to, because I think people just, look, these are professionals and they realize what's going on. And they see that Kirk Cousins just can't do the job right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. Here's what Ross said about the message this sends to the team.
I don't know if it's a message. I think it's just what we deal with. I think it's the National Football League. I think everybody knows you got to be ready when you're called upon. I think everybody knows that you always, you know, the NFL is a short-lived league and you got to appreciate the moments. And I think everybody already knew that. I think for our guys, I think they're just going to go out there and play with, like they've been playing, with the hair on fire and ready to go.
I think players, Mike, appreciate that their efforts are not being wasted.
Correct.
And, you know, when you start saying it's just the league, yeah, that's true. But you have a lot of guys who have been busting their tails. Listen, defense 2 weeks in a row has done their job. Like, they've done the job, and yet this part of it hasn't come about. And so I do think it sends the right message, which is we are going to do whatever it takes to win.
Right.
And if that means this, regardless of the money, we get it. And I think that message is huge for guys in that locker room, Mike, who've been busting their butts and trying to make this thing happen. And you're like, man, we're doing all we can, but this part of it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Right here, and if you guys don't think that they're human beings and talk about that amongst themselves, you're crazy.
Right. People see it, they know it, and I think you, if it goes even further now, you could argue whether players behind closed doors that maybe said, you know, we need to do this about 2 weeks back. You know, I mean, and maybe there were, but it's there's good vibes. Even last year with Arthur Smith, with the team going 7-10 and 7-10, there was never attitude. We never had guys. The only guy that, and it wasn't even a big deal. It was just Kadarius. I think it was It was Cordarrelle Patterson just wanting the ball, just wanted to be more active.
And we tweeted out something,
and that's the closest thing we've had to anybody being a diva. You know what I mean? So it's not like there's they got good guys in the building. We get that, but people realize. Look, nobody is above being benched if you can't do the job, period, even if you are the $180 million man.
Here is Michael Penix on his call with Cousins. He was asked, and by the way, he spoke after practice last night. They're back on the field today. As we mentioned, Coach Rahl will stop by here in about an hour. Penix said he got the call. Here's what happened.
Yeah, he just told me that, you know, he's in my corner, you know, the same way that I was for him whenever he was the starter. He said that he was going to come into the building, you know, continue to stay positive and, you know, do whatever he can to help me out and, you know, help this team win football games. So.
Yeah, I mean, and the one thing I'm waiting to see is how different does Zach Robinson call this game? Because of the things where it got to the point where I think bit by bit, week after week, you started to see the game plan get chipped away to like where the Vegas game, it was like, wow, it's almost like preseason.
Couldn't
you know,
do
nothing. Because you're running the ball so much and you're trying to get around the inadequacies of Kirk.
Yeah. You want to know whether or not the playbook changes or not? We're going to play it for you when we come back. Zach Robinson asked that question. We will get it for you and let you hear it. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on Odyssey.com. I need this chemistry to happen as quickly as possible. Guys, it's, Mike said it, 6 months ago, camp, right? We're talking late July.
Right.
And, you know, we get into August, and then you talk about the limited preseason he had. So even though he's been taking these mental reps, and he has, he's been standing there behind Kirk Cousins and taking the reps and everything that we've talked about as far as doing everything he can. He's been running scout team and getting the defense ready for the upcoming opponents. And a lot of the DBs, as D-Led told us yesterday, are like, yeah, he's ready. He's ready. Today, D-Led posted a photo, Mike, or a video of him throwing a route to Drake London. And these are the kind of things, like, it's so new and fresh, and it feels good that people are like.
I mean, everybody, he's throwing against air.
Right.
I mean, there's no defender on it, but I mean, hey, I get it. That's why it's funny when I was on the radio in San Diego, and they're like, how did he look in camp? I go, he looked like a rookie. You know, we said this yesterday. I mean, the ball, I mean, look, he's got a livelier arm than Cousins because he's younger. We all saw the unbelievable throws he made in his college career, including the playoffs a year ago. So we know what that's about. But, I mean, it wasn't like he came in and he was, like, bulletproof. You know, it wasn't like he didn't make mistakes. And he didn't. He talked about it with the media and things that he had to work on. And we saw things that they talked that are coachable. So, look, that's why I said let's not get crazy. Let's, you know, if he struggles, I mean, I know some of you guys, it's like a zero-sum game. That's it. They blew the pick. I mean, come on. Let's get some perspective. He's really getting thrown into the fire. Maybe should have been worked into it a little bit sooner. Maybe should have started last week against Vegas. Either way, Carl, he's here. Let's support the dude, and I think we're going to like what we see. But there's no way of knowing what it's going to be.
Yeah, I agree. Let's hear from Zach Robinson, guys, as we talk about this. We're going to talk to Coach coming up here, as we do every week exclusively on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The offensive coordinator, and Mike, you were asking about how he's going to call plays.
Right.
So is the entire playbook open, right? Because I think, and you think, that this playbook has diminished.
It shrunk a little bit. Sure looked like on Monday night.
Okay, as the season has gone along, because you start to realize, can't run that. Like, play action, can't run that. All of a sudden now, is the full playbook available with Penix at quarterback?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. You know, we felt great with Kirk as well. You know, it just obviously Mike's got some different skill sets that you can activate as well. But, you know, whatever he's done at Washington and what we've seen out on the practice field, how it fits within our offense, we'll definitely activate that this week.
So when he says it felt good with Kirk right there, stop lying, Zach. Because it didn't. We didn't right. get the full complement of this playbook. There's no way we got it. Mike, what did you say last week when we talked about the play action and we're last in the league?
Right, we're last in the league and what this guy does best. Now, play action is why Kirk Cousins, we thought, was going to be here. It would be the no-brainer of no-brainers. I get it that we run a wide zone scheme. Sometimes the backs are, you know, you got to get the ball to the back's hands a little bit outside of the standard pocket right behind the center. But they wouldn't even remotely do the things we thought we were going to do with Kirk. I don't know how much we're going to see with Michael Penix under center. He might, because I know we did play some in college.
Sure.
But still, this is something that we thought we were going to see as bread and butter, not even close.
All right. We're going to talk more about what Zach had to say and all the things that are being talked about. And ironically, Mike, I got a voice message from, he's not even an NFL coach. He's an NBA coach. And said, hey, I just want to give you my take on this. To your point about everybody having something to say. And by the way, you know, all these guys watch all these other sports. I mean, the baseball guys watch football right. guys watch other sports. But as an NBA guy, Mike, who literally was like, what are they doing? And his whole point was he felt like that this was the Falcons throwing Michael Penix into the fire, as you just said. Is it unfair, the timing of this for Michael Penix?
Well, you should have, I mean, there's so many things at play. The obvious, you know, and we talked about it, the elephant in the room. It's basically an elephant with a gorilla on its back in the room, is the money. And if you bench a guy making that kind of money, you look like a bunch of idiots. I mean, you invested in this guy, he can't do the job, and now you have the world's most expensive backup. So there's all of the baggage that comes with that. But at some point, as you watch your 6-3 season, 4 games in hand in the division just completely evaporate, things had to change. So, look, Coach Ra, he defended Kirk Cousins because I think he, like the rest of us, thought Cousins is going to snap out of it. And by the way, I looked it up. Last year in Washington, 81.7% of their plays with Penix was in the shotgun.
Mm.
So they did have pistol. And so the Huskies passed the ball 74.8% of the time, but he was more shotgun than under center in his college career, just so you know.
All right, 404-726-0929. And again, yesterday, man, we appreciate all the input. We had tons of great phone calls from you guys, and that's what it's about, because we want to know how you felt, what you were thinking, and a lot of you guys were chiming in on it. So hit us up. That's our text line. Follow Mike. He's at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on, guys, and as we tell you all the time, this is where you're going to get the news. This is where it's going to break, and you need to be up on it. So as we continue to discuss the changes and the things that are going to take place here, This is going to be a fascinating, Mike, last 3 weeks of the season for us.
I was interested in reading some of the comments last night, and we're going to play some audio for you here in a bit about how the players in the locker room reacted to the news. And, you know, I heard some things like Ray McLeod, Justin Simmons saying they're going to do everything they can to support the rookie as QB1. Which that's what you want to hear, right? You want to hear people engaged.
Absolutely.
People excited and, you know, looking forward to the opportunity and how much they, you know, I heard things that Drake London said about what a great attitude he has and all this. I'm curious because one of the guys that you and I have been talking about, get more involved in the offense, we went and looked at the numbers. This is a few weeks ago for guys who don't listen every day. We appreciate you if you do. Is the Rams' usage rate with Tyler Higbee is basically the same as the usage rate with Kyle Pitts. And Higbee's actually 6'6", and we know that Pitts is, you know, the unicorn. But Pitts' 40 time is a hell of a lot better, and we thought he'd be this super weapon in this Zach Robinson offense. Hasn't happened like that. And I'm just curious how Pitts feels about this change.
Okay. And look, I think these vets, Pitts is, you know, and look, he's still in his rookie deal, but he's been around here a couple of years now. I would think, Mike, these guys, you talk about Ray and some of these other guys, the Jesse Bates of the world, I would suspect that they're all, you know, Grady, they're all going to say the same things as far as the support and doing whatever they can. Because, again, I'm not out here wasting my time. I'm not out here wasting my talent. We're out here trying to make something happen.
Right.
So all these vets, man, yeah, I need this dude to play well, and I'm going to do everything I can to help him.
We've gone round and round about Pitts. Now, Pitts got involved a little bit. It was all checkdowns. There was nothing down the field. It's, you know, we've seen it only in spurts. You know, there's been moments where, obviously, the Tampa game with the two touchdowns, the one where he dropped the ball at the pylon, that was the best game he's had as a Falcon. We know he's had a 1,000-yard season. But it just hasn't been sustained because of injuries. And then the great chicken and the egg argument this year as well. Zach Robinson don't know what to do with Pitts. You know? Or Cousins doesn't have a chemistry with him.
Okay, you know what, though? Let's talk about this, Mike, real quick. Because with the way he's played the last 5 weeks, isn't this more about Cousins not delivering than it is the play call and
right.
getting the ball to Pitts?
And guys, you know me. You know how I feel about quiet quitting. I think people that do that should be punched in the head. But if you are, and we see this with the Eagles, you know, whether you're, you know, A.J. Brown, whoever you are, if you're not getting the ball, you know, you're like, okay, you know. Remember the ice bowl? Remember the ice bowl?
Yeah.
Who was a Cowboys receiver, had his hands in his pockets? The Packers kind of knew it was going to be a run play, you know. So you got to stay engaged. You got to stay mentally sharp because, you know, as you know, when your number is called, all those cliches. But I do think there's some human nature. So I'm actually going to have Pitts his back on this. If the quarterback is starting to really be horrible, I got no shot at being a weapon in this offense. Zero. Whatever my route is that I run.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, we said this, he can't throw the ball to himself. He just can't.
So they asked Pitts, and we talked about how some of the other players reacted. Here's Pitts. What was your reaction when you heard that Cousins was getting benched for Penix?
I didn't think it would have happened this early or now. You know, also, I just work here. So I'm not really tuning into those decisions, so... just going out and trying to get wins and, you know, making the best of it.
Part of
So what, you just show up with your hat on? You don't acknowledge anybody in the building. You just come in with your lunch pail. You do your job. You run your routes and you leave. You don't talk to anybody. You just work here.
I take that back. That is some quiet quitting right there. I mean, what you'd like to hear, and for those who, now again, we've got a full range of listeners from guys who get the gif and the gist of what Carl and I are saying to some who just sit there dumbfounded that we're just picking on Pitts. How about... really excited for the man. Can't wait to work with him. Hope it works out. I mean, he's a great, great kid. Even if it's a freaking lie, give him some positive reinforcement on this move. Hey, man, I just work here.
That's weird.
Damned if I know.
Exactly. Exactly. He might as well have had a cigarette in his mouth, right?
And a do-rag.
I mean, I don't know. Why y'all asking me? I have no idea. That's right. Management. So, I mean, yeah, like, come on.
I mean, look, for some guys out there, be, oh, here you go again. No, I'm just saying. I mean, like, there's guys out there that will never get the point we're making. But it's literally
here
like
you go again.
But there it is. I mean, what are you engaged with this? Hey man, I was working here, man. I punched the clock.
Oh man,
diddly I do to jammed if I know. I mean, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, my girl packed the peanut butter and jelly, man. I'm just here to work.
Hey man, I did give him the benefit of the doubt in the sense of if you feel that you're being marginalized in an offense, that is human nature. There's going to be.
Also, I just work here.
That will creep in.
Come on, oh, like for real. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, no.
You know, also, I just work here.
Kyle.
Fourth pick, the highest drafted tight end in NFL history, brings a work ethic to the office.
Come on. You got to give me more than that. Kyle.
You know, also, I just work here.
Okay. The unicorn just punches his clock.
Mike.
The unicorn walks in, clippity-clippity-clop, ding-ding, and he goes to work.
You just get out your car. You don't speak to anybody. Good morning, Kyle.
Just here to work.
Also, I just work here.
Come on.
I mean, right now, here we go on the text line. Here you go again. Hey, man.
No, we need everybody to be supportive. I don't care if you didn't think it was going to happen
or not.
Let's
get on board with it, man. It's kind of a momentous decision.
It is.
I don't know, man. Let's work here.
Okay. I didn't expect that. Honestly, I didn't expect that. The whole thing about him saying I didn't expect it to happen at this point, because, again, everybody keeps telling you that the best play is to play the veteran.
Right.
The smartest thing to do is to play the veteran. And you go down, that ship is sinking. If you go down with that ship, everybody then says, well, he played the veteran. So I get that. But this whole thing, dude, you do more than just work there. Right. We need you, again, to be great every single week. And I just find that funny that he sees it that way.
Hey, look, I mean, we just talked about the little soap opera in Philadelphia the last 10 days. It worked out. I'd even be cool with him, Kyle Pitts, you know, put a mirror under his nose, make sure he's breathing. Go, hey, man, maybe this means more balls coming my way.
For me.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I even accept
also
that.
I just
Thank you, Kyle.
But again, there's a lot of folks out there in their cars right now who feel the same way about their workplace, so they're not really going to get the vibe of what we're saying.
Yeah, but they're not. They weren't taking fourth overall, Mike. The highest high the ever in the history of the NFL. You're right.
Fifth year picked up.
I mean, yeah. Yes, your job is different.
You know, also, I just work here.
If you're saying that in your delivery, dude, I get it. Okay? I understand. This is now your opportunity to maybe even shine more with a new quarterback who maybe you can grow with if they end up giving you another opportunity.
Right, and I don't expect him to sit there and go, that's my quarterback, because you're 20th in the league in receptions and you were selected fourth overall, so I'm not expecting you to go, that's my quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
What would you say you do here?
404-726-0929. We're coming back. Daily downloads on the way. What will Raheem Morris tell us about the quarterback switch? Stay there.
You know, also, I just work here.
Yeah, we just work here. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are going to hear from Coach Raheem Morris coming up. We're also going to hear from Kate Nellis. He's going to stop by the show today. And we hope you're having a good day as well. Lots of discussion, guys, and rightfully so, about this change and what it's going to mean for our football team. The pressure is on, though, right, for us to get it done. And for Penix, I don't know, Mike, if he's got to go come out and throw for 350, 400. I don't feel like that kind of pressure is on him because we're running the football so well. Defense is holding their own right now. You just got to be efficient. And I think that is what the message is right now for Michael Penix Jr. He said last night in his presser, I just got to be me. And I know that was a really good statement because you can't try to come in and do what Kirk did or impress people by trying to do too much. He said, I just got to be me. And I think, Mike, if he does that, we're going to be in a good spot. Daily downloads coming up, guys. NFL Blitz is on the way as well. And then, as we mentioned, Coach Ra here in about 30 minutes from now.
I know that a lot of Falcon fans, I knew when I went down that line of conversation about Kyle Pitts, we get some reaction on the text line. And on Twitter, it's kind of funny. A couple guys going, oh, here we go. One guy said, our buddy is pretty funny, Eddie, goes, I don't think Pitts loves football. Jerry Maguire would call him just a paycheck player. I said, you said that. I didn't say that. I'm not going on there. And one guy, our buddy Richie ATL, goes, oh, here we go. Come on, guys. Here you go picking on him again. It's just.
Are we, though?
Well, I mean, look, there's no slam dunk answer as to why Pitts hasn't been more effective. Okay. I think if you had a pie chart, I would think, certainly, as Carl laid out, the last few weeks, Cousins can't get the ball to anybody, let alone Kirk, you know, let alone Kyle Pitts. He did have a drop in the Vikings game. He ran a crappy route, and the ball hit him in the hands, but he still dropped it. He then ran a seam route. He's right down the middle, and Kirk throws it like 5 yards to the wrong side of the field. So he might have had a touchdown. There's some things you can't put on him. Ball doesn't come within his catch radius, okay. But then there has been effort. We've talked about the effort at times. Is he put it in the work? We've had coaches talk about it. I'm just wondering, and the only reason we bring this up is it would be great if one of the byproducts of getting Michael Penix Jr. in there is it Pitts benefits. And all of a sudden it becomes a dude who's deserving of the pick and getting the fifth year picked up.
I hope so. I mean, like, again, with 3 weeks left, if he comes on and Penix starts getting him the ball, Mike, because here's the thing about Penix. We talked about Kirk Cousins processing, which is why they told us they went and got him. That was the main thing.
Right.
And that has kind of faded as well. But I will say this. There won't be any of that right now with Penix. See it, release it. He's going to see it and let it go. And if Penix throws it to my Kyle Pitts, Mike, he could get more opportunities because I think that is his mindset, right? It's not I'm going to go through my progressions and then I'm second-guessing myself, which is what we've watched over the last few weeks. We're going to hear from Kirk Cousins as he spoke to the media and addressed all of this yesterday. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hawks, by the way, back in action after playing in the NBA Cup. Did you guys see this about Trey? Named NBA Cup, all-NBA Cup team.
There you go.
Which, again, this tournament, and for those of you who were keeping up with it, I mean, it went back to beating Boston, which he didn't play in that game. Two wins against the Cavs, which he did play. And then you get there, you know, you beat the Knicks, Mike. He was great in that game. And then, obviously, you lose to the Milwaukee Bucks. But point is, Trey's getting his recognition.
Hey, I think if this all builds up to him getting back on that All-Star roster and eventually getting him to L.A. for the Olympics, I mean, little things like that. As Chris said in my ear, I mean, you know how I feel. I'm still lukewarm on this tournament. But, hey, they have a team, and he's on it for guys who did their jobs.
yes, he did. He did. So that's what's up. But they take on the Spurs tonight. As we'll talk more about that here. Big O's behind the glass. He is our engineer, and Turtle is our executive producer. Let's get to the Daily Download.
When did the Mongols rule China? I don't know. I just work here.
Story number one.
How similar are these guys? Mike, let's set the record straight, because you said this yesterday when we were hearing from people and people around the country were trying to chime in on what are you running quarterback Michael Penix is. Wrong answer.
There was some NFL website that has like 50,000 followers. I'm like, what? I go, no, he ran. We looked it up. He ran the ball for a total of 265 yards his entire college career. Now, he does have a bunch of touchdowns in the red zone, so he does have the ability. He's got 13 touchdowns, so he does, when you're inside the 20, the ability to make that happen. But he is not... Not Mike Vick 2.0, right? He is a drop back passer. We talked about it. 81% of his snaps at Washington were in the shotgun. So I guess that part of the Zach Robinson offense will probably stay the same. More pistol, I guess, coming our way.
Here's Zach Robinson, our offensive coordinator, talking about their similarities, at least how he sees it.
Absolutely. I think, you know, obviously what we believe in as a coaching staff is, you know, a quarterback can operate from the pocket and they can progress and they have anticipation and they have all those skills that it takes to be a successful quarterback from the pocket. Obviously Kirk's done that for a long time. Mike demonstrated those things coming out of Washington. He's got great instincts, great feel for the pocket, for bodies around him, can click through progression. So I think there are definitely some similarities from how they can play quarterback from the pocket, which is obviously why we, you know, like Kirk and obviously why we drafted Mike as well.
Lefty, though, it's going to look a little different. And we've seen lefties here, right?
Right.
We had a pretty good lefty here.
Yeah, somebody actually took the time. Did you guys see this? And they reversed the screen, so it looks like Penix is throwing right-handed. A lot of guys got some free time on their hands. But, yeah, man, it's certainly going to be a little bit different. Now, I guess there are some nuances to it for the receivers. That's why they had every single play that he worked on yesterday was a pass play. So he threw it 70 times, apparently, in practice yesterday.
It's crazy. But whatever it takes, man. Like, if that means guys are staying after, Mike, to get it done, yay, we just practiced, but we got to stay after.
Well, they always say, like, get the information like from a fire hose. Bah! You know, that's basically how he's going to have to do it this week.
And that's cool with me. Let's hear from Raheem Morris, or check that, Kirk Cousins, as we get into story number two, because I know for many of you, you heard some of this, some of you did not. But I think it's fair, as much as we've talked about Cousins, to hear his side of it. As a matter of fact, I'm so glad he spoke yesterday, Mike, because I want to hear what is going on. And as I said, I thought the injury thing might be his out. I thought for sure he was going to say, look, I hate this, but I'm just not where I need to be. And I think everybody would have given him a pass. That was not the case. He did not say that at all. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Here's Kirk Cousins talking about playing the position.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback. You know, certainly the turnovers were not what you want, but I didn't forget how to play.
Okay. I mean, so what the heck? We like the guy. We've told you guys a million times. You've heard the interviews. Everybody was on it. You know, we talked about the success, you know, the setting the team passing record. This is one that I still believe. I'm not saying he's fibbing there, but there's got to be something else here. And look, guy, I've heard so much nonsense on social media, as you just pointed out. I'm not going to even justify some of the rumors. Could be, oh, it's got to be his personal life. Guys, personal life is Ozzie and friggin' Harriet. Okay? This guy is literally like the perfect human being off the field. You saw it on Quarterbacks on Netflix. So, and like, well, you don't know what's going on. Oh, okay. And you do? Whatever it is, he's lost his mojo. I just think personally, the specter of having Penix over his shoulder created pressure that he internalized and made things worse. knowing that you've got a top 10 pick over your shoulder that the city's now thinking about makes things even harder. And I think that's what happened.
Couldn't get out of his own way.
He won't admit that. He's not going to admit that.
No. And couldn't get out of his own way with – because, again, this stuff is all mental. I mean, like, if I took you to another, you know, universe and Kirk Cousins was playing football, he's right. He hadn't forgotten how to play. That he's absolutely right. You don't do this your entire life, and all of a sudden, I don't know how to take a snap, drop back, set my feet, throw the right ball. Like, that stuff is in him. This is mental, and that is where I've been. This was, to me, was a confidence issue, Mike, and then it continued to dissipate. And he said yesterday it wasn't confidence. So if it wasn't physical and it wasn't confidence and you didn't forget how to play, then what happened? Because those are the three, and it's not injury.
Right.
Those are the things that we could chalk this up to and say, makes sense. Okay, makes sense. If it's not any of those four things, then what is it?
Right. And that's why at some point, and maybe it's Mark Grimondi, maybe D-Led, thanks, Mike, somebody write a book on this season if this team doesn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to know what's behind the scenes, or just an in-depth article in The Athletic. Josh Kendall, get on that. But what the hell happened? What it takes a guy from being literally, we knew there was going to be, you know, the chronology, you knew there was going to be a feeling out period as the Achilles fully healed. And maybe, as some guy said yesterday, it'll take a full 2 years for this guy to get right.
And, Mike, you know what? I'll say this as we talk about this situation. If, in fact, he did say it's confidence, he's done. What team is going to take a chance on a guy? Now you're worried about the injury, which a lot of teams were to begin with.
Right.
And now you're telling me halfway through an amazing season where your team is got a three-game lead that something confidence-wise happened? That's the other part about admitting this publicly, whether he wants to or not. And, again, this is my opinion. Kirk Cousins is people. Nobody's told me anything. But just watching football and knowing – that the guys around him are going, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, and that's why I've always, you know, I use like that Monstars reference, because that's really what it looks like, you know, in both of the movies, the Michael and the LeBron movie. That's basically what it looks like. So you just feel that, you know, it's something's got to be. And again, if we take mental health a lot more seriously, we certainly have more. I've had to learn to be more compassionate about it and not say, oh, roll your eyes about it. It's a thing now. But is that part of it? He just doesn't want to engage in that conversation either, because that's something, again, people will give you a pass on that.
Yeah, no, but they absolutely will. Let's hear Cousins talk about agreeing with Raheem as to what he was told, as to why this decision was made. Guys, it was simple. Too many turnovers.
Yeah, no, I would agree with him. It probably ultimately was the turnovers. And that's such a key thing in winning and losing the NFL.
I mean, can you see this guy back on the Falcons on the field, you know, with Falcons uniform on, under center?
Well, let me.
Apart from the obvious ones, where injuries or something else, it's okay, just hard to see it.
So let me ask you this, because this is where we were with Desmond Ridder. We got to a point where we didn't trust him. You thought every time he was going to make a mistake in every series, and that's why you didn't want to see any more of him.
Right.
At the end of the season, when people were asking me, "Oh, they're going to bring Ridder back?" No, you can't. We, the fans, don't trust him. Would you feel the same way about Kirk Cousins after seeing his last 5 or 6 weeks? The difference was Ridder was learning and was young in his career. This guy's supposed to have gotten it. He's supposed to be way past this process.
Right.
So that's my question. Like, you ask, well, will we see him again? Is he going to come back? I don't know the answers to all of that right now, and I don't think anybody at Flowery is focused on that. Dude, we got to get in the playoffs. Like, jobs are on the line if we blow this opportunity we have.
I mean, it's a big difference between the Chris Chandler thing back in 2001 with Dan Reeves and Mike Vick, where everybody wanted to see Mike Vick. And the season, and I was like, please, coach, we got to get him in there. And, you know, they didn't want to, you know, force it. But by the time they finally did, you saw it. I was at the Miami game where it's like, whoa, look at this. So, but that was a season that was lost before it even began with injuries. This one is, you just said it, we're on the cusp of blowing the playoffs.
No doubt about it. Coming up, guys, NFL Blitz is on the way. Our daily download is brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Hawks back in action tonight against the Spurs. 8 o'clock tip right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we come back, how is Raheem Morris prepping Michael Penix? We'll talk about it.